Let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 27. This morning I pulled up my jacket hoping the weather is going to remain cool, but the sun is out. But you know that phrase, smartness knows no weather? I'll keep it on. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you so much for all the blessings that you bestow upon us, your children. Lord, thank you so much for always speaking to us through your word. And Lord, as we open up your word, we expect to hear your voice, Lord. We expect to hear a word from you, Lord. We expect to hear your truth. Lord, we expect to hear exactly what you would love us to hear today. So we ask that you guide us through as we learn in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts chapter 27, Paul, Aristarchus, and Luke, the author of the book, finally get on a ship and they start their journey across the Mediterranean Sea that would lead them to Rome. This was the day that Paul had waited for almost for more than 2 years. Now, surprisingly, we'd all expect that it was going to be a smooth sail all the way to their destination, because this was God's plan. But that's not the case. It's going to be a very disastrous journey for Paul. But even through all the disasters that they're going to face, a lot of loss of cargo, and the entire ship was actually shattered, God was there with him, and he again speaks to him to encourage him and to assure him that he's going to make it to Rome. This was also an opportunity for Paul to actually declare the gospel to all his fellow prisoners, over 200 of them on this ship. We again continue to see God's hand through everything that Paul goes through. Just a reminder for us to know that through every trial, through every toil, through every sorrow, God remains close to us and he still speaks through every storm. Let's read together. First 8 verses. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering the ship of Adramitem, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. And when we had put to sea, from there we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete of Salmon. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia. Notice a few words through those verses as the journey begins. Hardly had they hit the sea than the winds were contrary, and through many difficulty here, they continued to sail. We often get so excited coming to the Lord because, first of all, we celebrate the beginning of new life. However, we are often never prepared to know that the journey maybe a very difficult one. Paul must have been very excited to get on that ship and to head to Rome, as God had promised and willed, and immediately they hit the sea. Trouble. The winds were contrary. They actually had to sail up near the shores, as we see here, under the shelter of Crete, of Salmon, and before that, shelter of Cyprus, just near the island of Cyprus. And they did that to make sure that in any case, the sailing was more troublesome, they would actually just make their way to that island or to the nearest shore. This is, in verse 8, with difficulty a journey. And some of the seasons of our lives are actually very difficult. Would you agree? But do we stop? Do we stop walking with the Lord? In fact, this is one of the reasons some walk away from the Lord. Remember the parable of soils in Matthew chapter 13? When the heat comes, and the seed is, the person is not grounded in God's word, you know what happens? They wither off. They stop right there. This Jesus thing is too hard. Let me go back to the life that I was more familiar with. This was a dangerous season of sailing. From September to November was winter. So many storms. The weather was extremely unfriendly, very cold. I wonder how the decision was made that they would sail during the most dangerous part of the year. But they're in the sea anyway. Now, Paul is one man who was very familiar with suffering. And this was not moving him an inch. The story continues in verse 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only for the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. So part of this journey, they were supposed to actually wait for the winter to end. And they should have stayed right there, as Paul warned them. This was going to be disastrous. It's going to be a winter sailing, dangerous. But the owner of the ship and the Roman commander there insisted that they would go. Now, of course, Paul is not speaking as a prophet here, you know, having divine warning. He's probably just speaking out of experience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, he says, "Three times was beaten with rod, once stoned, three times shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep." Paul had been on a ship that disintegrated into pieces three times. He had been a day and a half in the sea floating on a piece of wood. Can you imagine? You know, one of the ingredients that actually make Paul the apostle he is suffering. And experience God in every suffering. Paul knew this was going to be a dangerous journey. But they sail on, don't they? Verse 13, "And when the south wind blew, softly supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed across to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclidon, So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. And when they had taken it on board, they used cables under guard the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrian sands, Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. It gets worse, doesn't it? So they are expecting the weather to be good, that the sailing would be smooth. They go back to the sea again, and immediately, they kind of had a soft beginning, but immediately the soft sailing ended. The wind again was contrary, and this time it was actually more dangerous. They could not go forward. The wind was blowing them backward. They tried to throw off the skiff. This was kind of a lifeboat in their day to help the people get off the boat in the middle of danger like that, but that wasn't possible. They throw out the tackle. These are a series of ropes. You know ancient sailing, if you've seen those pictures? These are a series of ropes and pulleys that actually are thrown off the sea to kind of help pull it to safety, but that does not work. And they did not see the sun for many days. Now, Paul was definitely good in math, but it just says many days. He probably lost count. You know, you've been in trouble and you almost lose count of the days of your suffering. The hope of their safety was gone. Now, I've sailed before, not so much sailing, but tell you what, when you are in the middle of the ocean, middle of the sea, middle of a lake, on stormy weather, and you haven't seen the sun for many days, you know that you are really in trouble. They could not sail any forward on their own. They just let the storm beat. They didn't even know where they were. No directions, no compass direction here, like in the modern day sailing. No radar systems, nothing. No rescue systems. They gave up. They just waited to drown. That's not the end of the story, though. But after a long abstinence from food, they had been fasting, the fast had ended. But right now, you know that when you're going through a very difficult time, you don't actually have appetite for food, do you? They just waited to die. They don't even want to eat. But after some time, Paul said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" The worst place you want to be in is when you've been warned and you did not listen. The worst thing I want to hear is, "We told you." You're like, "Yeah, I know. Just keep quiet." Paul was telling this Roman commander here, "You should have listened to me. At that time, the commander is just like, probably just looking down, like, yeah, I know, should have listened to you. But I have good news. An angel appeared to me through that storm, through that darkness, through that hopelessness, and assured us that much as there's going to be loss on this trip, it is only going to be a loss of the ship, but our lives will be safe. But we have to kind of pause the journey and go off to safety at an island. He tells them, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. That made all the difference through this voyage. That God, in the storm, in the darkness, in the hopelessness, shows up and speaks to Paul again. And assures them, you're going to make it safe, you're only going to lose the ship. That is exactly what they wanted to hear from exactly the perfect source, God himself. You can imagine these men waiting to die. They had not seen the sun for many days. They weren't eating. They were just as good as dead in their mind, hopeless. And often God brings us to an end of ourselves, doesn't he? We like to figure out our life. We want to plan our journeys. We have goals and ambitions and plans. But tell you what, even when those things are actually God's plans, he often brings us to the end of ourselves. He brings us to a point when we're just waiting to die. Have you been there? No hope of rescue whatsoever. Just sitting there, hungry, as good as dead. But God is not done yet. He again speaks to Paul, assuring him that, I promise you'll end up in Rome. And in Rome, you're going. It's going to be just a terrible experience. Now, when the 14th night, now they kind of have figured out how long they've been in there, 14 days. The 14th night had come as we're driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near to some land. And they sounded... They took soundings. It was 20 fathoms, and then they had gone a little further. They took another sounding, and it was 15 fathoms. So they were closing to an island here. And then, fearing lest we should run on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had broken it, he began to eat. They were nearing an island, having been a very dangerous journey so far. These prisoners want to escape. They just want to jump in, and swim, and disappear. The centurion is probably just silent up to this time, saying nothing really. It seems to me now that Paul has taken over the captainship of the ship. The centurion, the commanders are just silent, the prisoners are afraid. It's only Paul who has received a word from the Lord and he takes over, comes the real captain now. They try to throw off the skiff to get the ship to safety, but to get a way of getting the prisoners off the ship into safety, that does not help. They cut it off. The winds are still blowing. There are rocks in this particular area that would actually destroy the ship if the winds blow it direct to the cliffs there. They are still fasting. Paul says, hey, it's time to have a meal. Fellow prisoners, it's 14 days without food. You're going to survive. Have a meal. Get yourself a drink. It's almost like a communion service on this ship there in verse 35. And they ate. Then they were all encouraged and also took food for themselves. Hope is back. They're having a meal, almost like a communion service there. Encouragement is back. Their lives are secure as God had promised. Life is back in the ship. But the journey is not over. And in all were 276 persons in the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened up the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. Now it's time to make the ship a little lighter so that they can make it to the island. This was a heavily loaded ship that was meant to sail in the middle of the sea because of its weight. But now as they're drawing close to an island, they're definitely, if they do not lighten up the ship, they're going to be caught up far off from the mainland, from the island. So they had to make it lighter so that the ship would actually float nearest to the island. The cargo is thrown overboard. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land. But they observed a bay with a beach into which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile losing the rudder ropes. And they hoisted the mainsail and the wind and made for shore. So they kind of adjusted the sail and the wind would blow them to the shore. But striking a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground and the prow struck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them for their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to the land. Paul's word from the Lord brought encouragement, but the danger wasn't over yet. They lighten up the ship. Now, of course, it's also lighter for a storm to push it further into the rocks. And that's exactly what happens. Waves push it to the rocks, get stuck. It's disintegrating right now. Everybody's panicking. They want to jump off and swim. The centurion is more worried about his safety because if any prisoner escaped, he would have to die. But he could not kill any prisoner because he wanted to save Paul. Can you imagine? This was God's favor upon Paul right there. There's no other person that the centurion cared about apart from one Paul. And finally, the ship gets a place where they could board off And they are on an island which they did not even know of. Can you imagine? But at least they are safe. Job testified in Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. One of the things that goes through our heads when we go through difficult times is questioning God's hand, questioning God's will, even questioning God's presence through the situation. But through this journey, we know a few things for sure. God is right there, even in the storm. Now, this time, he does not calm the storm. We know the story in the Sea of Galilee when Jesus said, "Storm, stop," and it stopped. What's happening this time? Wouldn't you be expecting that Jesus again would actually command the storm to stop the same way he did it before? But he doesn't do that. He actually allows much loss to happen. And tell you what, God is as powerful when he calms the storm and when he allows much loss to happen through a storm. And much as trials and troubles beat on us so hard that we get hopeless, even in our hopelessness, he remains strong and he still speaks. In James chapter 1, I'll end with this, James chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In James chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." God is not allowing all these storms to happen just for any other reason, but to teach Paul and everybody some valuable lessons. Paul's ministry up to this point has actually been characterized by suffering, much suffering. And you'd expect this suffering to come to an end. Like, hey God, this has been enough suffering. Let only this journey be smooth. But tell you what, God still has a lot to do through Paul. We see one thing, we see God's presence and assurance that the journey would actually end with much loss, but their safety. We see, secondly, that this was an opportunity for Paul to tell all these prisoners and the Roman commander about Jesus Christ. Christians and non-Christians often suffer alike. But there's a difference for the Christian. We have God. We have God. And when we suffer, we get often scoffed and mocked by non-Christians, don't we? Where's your God? I thought you're a Christian. How come you're going through the same difficulty as I am? You know what the answer is? We're still far better off than anybody else. We have Jesus right there with us. And we have the privilege to share that very Jesus with those among us through every storm. This is actually a very difficult time to preach, especially when everybody expects that coming to Jesus means everything is going to be fine. What could have been going on in the mind of these non-Christian prisoners? The very first encounter on the sea is a disastrous one. However, there is a man to whom God speaks, and I'm sure the impression of who God is one who rescues through every danger. There is still more adventure ahead through this journey. This was supposed to take probably about 2 months of a journey. It's going to take them 7 months. They're going to camp in this island for the winter, 2 to 3 more months at the island, and then they're going to head out, and it's going to be still disastrous in chapter 28. But they make it to the other side, just as God has promised. Christians, we need to learn that at some point God will bring us to the end of ourselves. Our plans will apparently seem completely shattered, and the situation will lead us to absolute lack of hope. And when we sit there just waiting to die, God will come and speak to us. In our minds, in our finite minds, we must be thinking, well, God should have spoken on the very first day of the journey that, hey, this is going to be dangerous. Right? God should have warned him. God should have warned us that this is going to be a tough journey. Well, in some places he did. But he allowed all these men to go through darkness, to go through loss, to go through hunger, and just wait to die for him to actually show up and speak. Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when we go through various trials, not just one or just two, many. The testing of our faith is going to produce patience. We're going to learn the lesson of waiting on the Lord. And sometimes we're in a place of, Lord, can't you do this patience test in a different way, right? I don't have to go through the storm for me to learn patience. Just teach me a different way of learning this patience. Now, this is the best way. And he says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Through every trial and through various trials, God is teaching us to wait on him. And surely he does show up just at the right time to give us a word in season. And maybe we've come out of a trial. Maybe we're just going into a trial. And maybe we are not in a trial whatsoever. It's probably ahead. I think we are in this passage to prepare, if it's ahead, to get strength for right now, if we are in the middle of it. But also, if we're out of it, to know that much as it was painful, sorrowful, dangerous, and hopeless a situation, God is right there with us. And much as we may expect him to calm the storm, he may not necessarily calm the storm. He will take us through the storm. With Jesus in our hearts, we can smile at the storm. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your promises. Your promise, first of all, to be with us through every situation, Lord. Thank you so much for your plans for us. And Lord, sometimes we think you having plans for us means that everything is going to be smooth. And yet being in your perfect will can actually be a place of much danger. But Lord, even through the dangers, you are with us. You sail with us, Lord. You walk with us. You speak to us. You lead us. You comfort us. You help us. Lord, even through much loss and hopelessness, Lord, you are faithful to lead us through every trial. And Lord, thank you so much for just helping us understand your incomprehensible ways. As much as you could have calmed the storm, Lord, you choose sometimes to lead us, to shelter us, to take us through the storm. And for that, Lord, we are thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.